Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, from the overflow from the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're grateful, you'll say it. If you're grateful, you'll show it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. From the overflow of the heart, I believe the fingers should post. From the overflow of the heart, I believe the fingers should tweet. You know what? I am so tired of nobody tweeting what happens in church or posting about something that God's been doing, and instead we post about something that's happening on a football field or on a basketball court. It ought not to be that you who claim to be saved by the grace of God, going to heaven when you die, and claim to have access into the very presence of a great God, that you never talk about the things that God is doing. I want to hear what it sounds like and see what it looks like when people who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, people who have been forgiven of their sins and healed of their diseases, people who have been given a second chance, I want to hear what it sounds like when we are grateful. Can I ask you, has God done anything for you? The Bible says His mercies are new every morning with the rising of the sun. We should not be ashamed to give God praise for what He deserves, for what He has done. Who gave us the very life that we had. We're talking about that God. We should be giving Him praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for all that You've done for me. Thank you, God, for everything that You've done for His house. We ought to show our gratitude, church. Right now, I'm going to show you some statistics about our church from 2014 and show you that we have plenty of reasons to be grateful. We at His House believe that found people find people. In 2014, we had an average weekly attendance of 862 individuals per week. That's pretty phenomenal when you take in consideration that we had over 100 individuals move out of our community because of the economy to find jobs. It's also pretty phenomenal when you count, in addition to those people that moved out, that Mid-Continent shut down and we had an average of 40 to 50 people who would attend here every week that were professors and staff and faculty and students as well. So 862 people per week. We praise God for that, and we look for even more people in 2015. We had 92 total salvations that were reported with people filling out cards in 2014. We praise God for that. We had over 280 people who were first-time visitors to His House in 2014. That is totally awesome. We also believe at His House that you can't outgive God. Do you know that because of your faithfulness and tithing, that you realize that you can give God your first and best so He can bless the rest? That in 2014, that we saw a total giving rate of $857,000 for undesignated gifts. Folks, that is a 19% increase from 2013. We also saw 212 families that were assisted through the His Hands Ministry, and right at $48,000 given to mission work. That is a slam dunk, and we appreciate your faithfulness in giving and being faithful to what God's asked you to do. At His House, we also believe that saved people serve people. In 2014, we had over 200 active volunteers. We had over 57 first-time volunteers. We also have an average weekly volunteer base of 105 people per week. That is an increase of 18% over 2013. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for understanding that saved people do serve people. At His House, we also believe that you can't do life alone. People in life groups have increased over the years. In 2014, no exception, we have 22 current active life groups that are going on. That means that over 380 people now are participating and doing life with other believers. Another core value that we have here at His House is that growing people change. And I'm proud to report to you that in 2014 that we had 110 baptisms. That means for the third year in a row that we've seen over 100 people baptized. Man, that is phenomenal. That is awesome. The average church in America baptizes less than 10 people per year, and we saw 110 people. You know, there were 230 prayer cards that were turned in, that were accounted for, had 26 new partners that come alongside of us and said, we're going to put our hand to the plow and do whatever it takes to see people come to know Jesus. And we had 33 people that said, I want to turn my life around and start serving Christ. Listen, the partner increase from 2013 is 6%. That is phenomenal as well. We're glad that growing people do change when Jesus is involved. Hey, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. We have an awesome student ministry department here at His House. Do you know that they had 27 first-time decisions for Christ in 2014? Do you know that the average weekly attendance was 162? Let me repeat that, 162. Do you know the average church size in America is 80? We're talking 100, it's double the average church size in the student ministry area of His House. That is a 9% increase from 2013. They had 103 first-time visitors in 2014. They've got a massive army of volunteers back there, of average weekly volunteer base of 31. Do you know the back-to-school bash in 2014? They had 275 students with 41 volunteers and 6 salvations. Do you know that their Blocktober party that they had 416 students worshiping Jesus in 2014 during Blocktober party, 66 volunteers, and they had 2 salvations. Listen, we are so proud of what DMAC and his crew are doing back there with the student ministry area of His House, and we look forward to what's going to happen in 2015. Come on now, we got to talk about His House Kids Ministry, right? I mean, the children's ministry of His House is rocking and rolling. The average weekly attendance on Sundays is 132 children back there, growing to be more like Christ in their life, learning about Jesus. The average Sunday morning volunteer base is 24. The volunteer to child ratio is 1 to 5. I mean, think about His House Kids Camp this year. An average attendance per night of 200 children. Wow. 19 salvations reported through His House Kids. We are seeing tremendous growth in this area, and we are excited again to say that 2015 is going to be a banner year as well. Come on, His House. I believe it's time for us to be grateful. Anybody grateful for what God's done in 2014? You just saw and heard all the statistics of what God's done and how He's blessed us and how we should be thankful. For from the heart, it should come through the mouth with thanksgiving and praise to God. I think it's time that we stand to our feet, give God a hand clap of praise, give Him a shout of victory for the things that He's done in 2014, and let's look to 2015 and see what He's going to do. Come on, man, let's celebrate what He has done here at His House. Anybody love their church? Give God a shout of glory and praise right now. Would you do it? Amen. Man. Hey, you know what I like? I like there were 4 Chads up here at one time. Y'all like that? That's scary, isn't it? Y'all can be seated. Listen, man, I'm telling you, you got to put that in perspective, right? I mean, you got to think about that. 862 people each week, week in and week out. There are some Sundays there's well over 1,000. Few Sundays during the summer when people are on vacation, it kind of goes backwards just a little bit, but the average of 862 per week right here in little old Mayfield, Kentucky, I mean, right here in Graves County, Kentucky, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just think about it. The average church size in America is now 70-something people, and it's 10 times the amount of people in the average church is what shows up here on any given week here at His House. I mean, that's even when people, we counted up the other day, and this is an unfortunate thing, but it's true, and I think you ought to know everything, good, bad, and ugly. The ugly part is our economy locally has been struggling a little bit. Y'all would agree with that, right? And so we need to be praying that God would open up doors of opportunity for this area, that He would use us in spite of our own faults and failures, bring more jobs in, because we've had about 90 to 100 plus people, no joke, that have moved in the last 9 months to a year going to other areas to find work. And that's out of His House alone. And so if you were to take those people and put them back in here, and then you would retain the Mid-Continent people, the 35 to 40 people who have left because Mid-Continent shut down, this church would be running an average attendance of right at 1,000 week in and week out. I mean, in spite of all of that, I mean, that would have crippled most churches, but you guys had picked up the pace and kept going. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, to see over 100 baptisms every year for the last 3 years, I mean, that is insane. The average church in America, I looked it up the other day after we cut that video, the average church baptizes around 7 people per year.
7 people per year. There's like a percentage of Southern Baptist churches where the number came out of the Southern Baptist Convention. They said that like so many of them, and it's crazy, it's like 40% of those churches don't even baptize anybody all year long. I mean, why don't we just close the doors and just go home if we're going to be like that? You know, I'm not interested in being a social club. I'm not interested in being just a place where we can come together and just punch our little religious card for the week. I'm interested in being a force in the kingdom of God, a place where we put our hand to the plow and we do not look back at yesterday's glory, but we realize that people need us in the nasty now and now, so one of these days they can be in the sweet by and by with us. Amen? Y'all agree with that? I believe that with everything that's in me today. You know what I'm tired of, though? And I'm just going to be real honest about this. What I'm tired of is my generation, myself included, okay? I hope you're listening to me today. I am so tired of this entitlement mentality that we have in our society. Anybody else tired of it? I mean, I'm tired of it. I mean, when we claim that we love things that we don't really support, right? I mean, listen, here's my gig about this. If you don't support something, you don't really love it. If you don't support something, you really don't appreciate it. And write this down, okay? I know I didn't put a lot of notes in your bulletin this morning, but I want you to write this one statement down because I believe it with everything that I've got in me today. Here it is. Whatever you fail to celebrate will eventually exit your life. Whatever you fail to celebrate will eventually exit your life. It will. I mean, I'm just being straight up with you. There's so many people today that say, hey, I'm just kind of halfway going to run through life, and I'm not really going to focus on the important things. I'm not going to be grateful for the things that God's blessed me with. Listen to me today. Whatever it is that you fail to celebrate in your life will eventually start walking out the door of your life. It'll be a slow fade, but it will happen, and it will eventually exit out of your life. It will happen. I mean, you need to celebrate. You say, well, Chad, we shouldn't be caught up in numbers and things of that nature. God's kind of caught up in numbers, right? I mean, did he not write a whole book in the Bible about numbers, right? I mean, he titled it Numbers, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody with me this morning? I know this is the early service. I know you're a little sleepy this morning. I know you might be a little tired, but come on, help me out a little bit. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? I mean, God was interested in that. I mean, he talked about how many people in the Word of God that they fed with the fish and the loaves of bread. Remember, he gave a number of 5,000 besides women and children. If it wasn't important to him, why did he include it in his Word? I mean, we talked about the day of Pentecost. I mean, think about that. Think about how many numbers were reported for the other church. I mean, we need to celebrate the things that God is doing. And because if we don't celebrate it, it will eventually exit out of our lives. It will. And see, here's the deal. If you're showing up one out of every 5 weekends, you're not grateful for what God has given you. I'm just being honest. If you're not showing up one out of every 5 weekends, just when it's convenient, you're not really grateful for the church. You're kind of really taking it for granted. You're not celebrating the goodness of God. You're not celebrating the fact that right here in little old Graves County, Kentucky, that he's placed a church that's reaching the people that we're reaching today. And when you're kind of sporadically just kind of coming to church, and a lot of us won't serve in church, even though we've been through 17 pushes for volunteers, I mean, we've stopped celebrating when we get to that place. Here's what I think happens. I think what happens is this right here. I think the things that we used to see as a benefit, I think we've started seeing it as something that we think is part of the package of what we deserve. Let that sink in just for a minute. All right, I'm fixing to take the knife out here in just a second, all right? When it comes to God, listen to me, let me explain. When it comes to God, we ought to long for his blessings, right? I mean, we almost should even really expect his blessings in a way. Why should you expect his blessings? Because you think you done? No. Not because of anything we've done, only because of what God said he already done for us and what his word says he wants to do for us, right? I mean, that's why we should expect his blessings. But let me just tell you right now, it should not be something that we think we deserve. We ought to keep it in the forefront of our mind all the time, everywhere, that I don't deserve any of his blessings. But I should long for his blessings because he's been good. Amen? I should long for his blessings and expect his blessings because he is a loving God. I should long and expect his blessings because we ought to understand that his love endures forever, not because I deserve it, but because he's good, not because I'm good. Are you getting me to this morning? Are you registering this? Are you taking it in? Because I really believe you ought to focus. See, here's the deal. Remember when you got your first job? Remember when they first gave you that money or that paycheck or whatever, and you couldn't wait to go? I remember my first job was picking tomatoes out at a place out in Melbourne, and I remember, man, when I first got that money, man, I walked home, and I couldn't believe it. I started counting every little bit of it, right? And then at my next job, as I was at Dairy Hill, right, I was a milkshake-making machine, baby. I mean, I'd have all three of them running at the same time, the mixers, and, man, I'd be serving that stuff out. They'd pay me. I'd go home. I'd show it to my mom, my brothers, and everybody else. I was excited, right? But when I got my first job that paid me a paycheck and then they gave me some insurance, right, and gave me some benefits, that's when I started getting a little bit more excited, right? They said, here's what we pay you, but this is not it. You've got these benefits right here. You got a little retirement matching 401k. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you get a little excited about that, and you're like, oh, man, I get more. You're going to pay my insurance and all that, and you get really excited. But after a while, what happens is what you used to see as a benefit is something that you start to expect in your life, and you take it for granted. I mean, you start striking, you start walking, you start doing all this other stuff, and you say, no, I deserve this. I deserve this. No. We don't necessarily deserve it. It was a benefit, right? So the thing that we once saw as a benefit now starts to be something that we expect. See, I wonder, listen, I want you to listen to me today. I wonder just how many of us in this place today at one time could not believe that the gospel was true, that God would accept me for who I am and love me just like I was, with all of my screw-ups, with all of my faults, with all of my failures, that I could actually go to him in prayer and talk to the very God of this universe, that I could not only hear the word of God, but I could open it up and read the word of God and memorize the word of God and meditate on the word of God. I mean, I can't believe that those things are available to me, and the things that I used to see as a benefit of God, that sometimes we come just to expect it. I mean, I wonder. We've got a lot to be grateful for. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says this: you will be made rich in every way. Talking to rich people here, right? It's talking to you. You know, I'm not rich. If you are on welfare in this room today, in this nation, you are in the top 2% of wage earners in the world. So I'm talking a bunch of rich people today. Right? Yeah, I'm talking to a bunch of rich people today. You will be made rich in every way. And through us. Through who? Through us. Us. Not us. Us. Through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service, here, stay with me, by which you, all of us, have proved yourselves, here it is, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. What does that mean? I'm telling you, there's going to be people literally in heaven one day who are going to be thanking and praising God for your faithfulness and your generosity and your obedience and your service to the kingdom of God, because maybe it was something that you did in your life that led somebody to come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, and that made all the difference in the world. Think about that. I'd love to be able to say, though, that it's because of all of you. That's because of all of you that this stuff is happening. That it's because of all of you that people are coming to know Christ. That it's because of all of you that teenagers are being mentored at a rate of 160 average weekly attendance. Teenagers are hearing the gospel. Can you even fathom that? I mean, can you fathom that? I mean, I don't know that I can. 160-something teenagers sitting in this room on a Wednesday night worshiping a Jesus that they say they know and they love, and a youth pastor preaching the Word of God unto them. I stood right back there at that back door Wednesday night, and even though it was cold and there wasn't that many people here for that night, it was still a phenomenal youth crowd, and I heard a youth pastor that was up here preaching to them that loved them. I mean, I'd love to be able to say that's because of all of you, but I can't. I'd love to say that because of all of you that people are receiving help. I'd love to be able to say that people are being reached for the cause of Christ. I'd love to be able to say all of you, but to have integrity today, I cannot say that. I can't. I have to say because of some of you. Because of some of you, God's doing a great work through His house. Because of some of us, the reality is, I don't want to be harsh, but some of us are simply consuming what the church has to offer, and we're not doing anything of what God's called us to do. Save people, serve people. Save people, serve people. Save people, serve people. Save people, serve people. You say, give me a good example of that. Jesus. Jesus was saved before anybody else could be saved. He's the very Son of God. He is God. He's in a safe position. There's nothing that could rock that. There's no way that Satan could defeat that. But yet Jesus said the greatest leadership that you could ever show to somebody else in their life is when you lay your life down for somebody else. I don't know about you, but that's the greatest service I've ever seen. Jesus taught the disciples one night when they were arguing over who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And who is going to have this position of authority and that position of authority. And Jesus taught them a lesson by kneeling down and washing their feet, telling them that the greatest one in the kingdom of God is the one that will be willing to serve somebody else by washing their feet. You want to be great for the kingdom of God? Lay your life down. You want to be great for the kingdom of God? Start serving. You want to be great and be found in complete obedience to what God's wanting you to do? Be faithful to Him. There's an article that's floating around Facebook right now, and some people are sharing it with a good intention, and some people are sharing it because they're trying to excuse their laziness by not showing up to the church. How many of y'all seen that Facebook article entitled, Why People Are Leaving You, Church? Y'all, how many of y'all seen that? Right? It's okay. The guy makes some decent points in his article. But the problem is some of the people who are sharing it because they're wanting to excuse their laziness for not being faithful to the kingdom of God and by attending His church. I'm being truthful with you. And I'm reading that and I'm thinking, you know, listen, why, if you're wanting to, and then I finally was just like, you know what? Let's just tell it like it is. I mean, I've made everybody else mad in Graves County. Why not make one more mad? Amen? I mean, I get talked about all the time anyway. Just what's one more going to hurt? Right? Praise Jesus. I mean, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just let it roll. Let it rip, tater chip. I mean, just give it to me again. I mean, one more, stand in line, take a number, whatever you want to do. But here it is. Here's my philosophy about that. Listen, I don't have a problem with you posting that kind of stuff. But what you've got to realize is that if you think there's a problem with the church, then you need, if you're calling yourself a Christian, a church member, a follower of God, then you need to be looking at yourself in the mirror because you are that church. You are the church. The church, these staff guys, we don't make the church up. We are the administrators. You guys are the ministers alongside of us. We're supposed to help equip you to try to make you better ministers to reach the lost and dying world that's out there. But when people post that kind of stuff, it's basically an excuse for laziness. It's an excuse to get away from the things of God. It's an excuse to say, that's why people aren't going anymore. But wait a minute, honey. I mean, if you know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, the church is not this building. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't worship this building. I told you a couple weeks ago, I had a dream or vision or nightmare. I'm not sure which. And when I finally decipher all that out, I'll let you know. But I dreamed like we moved out of this building here. We turned it into a state-of-the-art children's facility. And we went back to the barn, knocked out one of the walls, and we had church back down there running 3, 4, 5 worship services. So, I mean, we shouldn't be tied to the building, but when you think that a building is tied to the church aspect, no. It just houses the church. It's just a place where the church comes together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're saved by the grace of God today, if God's redeemed you, if He sets your nappy little soul back up out of the pit and puts you on some solid ground today, I want to hear you right now with an amen and raising your hand saying, I know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. Raise it up and say amen. Listen, you are the church, and the church doesn't exist for you. You are the church, and you exist for the world. And Facebook fans, listen to me. Those of you that are couch potatoes today, and you don't think you really need to be here, let me just say something to you today. Just while you're watching this little cute message on your little laptop laying in bed, I don't know, you may be on a beanbag in your underwear eating Cheetos, I don't know, but let me just say something to you today. You are the church. If you know Jesus, it's time for you to get up, put your hand to the plow, and do something for the kingdom of God. Do that. That wasn't in my notes. Anyway, how tragic is it? How tragic it is that we have been made rich in every way, blessed financially, blessed with talents, blessed with relationships, blessed so you have opportunities to share the love of Christ with other people, and we don't do it. Hey, God didn't give you that ability to make it just for your benefit. God gave you that talent and that ability and that money and that mindset and all that to be able to serve Him. I'd love to be able to say it's because of all of you, but I can't. I mean, I want to be able to say it's because of all of you, and I know God wants so much more to say because of all of you. I mean, I think God really, I believe with everything in my heart that God wants you to stand before Him one day, and He wants to look at you and say, hey, because of you, more people know my son. Because of you, more people accepted him. Because of you, people asked for forgiveness of their sins. God wants to use you to make a difference. And through you, the world can be a different place in and through what God wants to do for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, just as a body, the one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of that body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Are you listening? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. As the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You can't do without them. Right? And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, are treated with special modesty. Anybody got any body parts that are a little bit unpresentable? Anybody? That's why they make Spanx. Or if you want to be old school, if I'm going to be like my grandma, low down with Meemaw, it'd be the big G. Girdle. Right? I saw that as a young boy, and it still horrifies me. Amen? I mean, I'm just being real. I'm sorry. I hope my grandma's not watching this on Facebook, but it's verse 23. Let me move on. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that we present unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. Verse 24. Why are presentable parts need no special treatment? Verse 24. But God has put the body together, given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Here it is. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I mean, you got to look at the richness of what this is saying. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. See, here's what I think. I think oftentimes you guys walk in here and you think for a 75-minute period of time, you think it's PC, that Pastor Chad, and that the people up here singing and worshiping God and all that sort of thing, the praise team, you think a lot of times, honestly, that they are the important parts, that I'm the important part. I mean, a lot of times you may think that, but the fact of the matter is, it's not really, that's not what makes up this place. I mean, listen, even though I thought at one time that some of the things I was doing was unimportant, it was not, before I was preaching, pastoring up here on a platform. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I think a lot of times, every time some of you guys come in, you think, it doesn't matter if I go to church on Sunday. Nobody's really going to miss me. I mean, I sit in the back. I mean, every time you say you give your tithe, you say, man, my tithe is so incidental. It doesn't really matter if I put it in the offering bucket this week. It doesn't really matter. Nobody's really going to notice, man. I mean, it's not the full leg. It's not the arm. Well, I mean, why would anybody notice if I don't put, or you say, you know what, if I serve in the nursery, if I show up, I mean, what does it really matter? I mean, who sees the nursery? It's only Pastor Chad that everybody sees. It's only the worship team that everybody sees. It's really, really important. Oh, I can't sing. I can't preach. And so it really doesn't matter if I come and just hang out and work in the parking lot or hold an umbrella for a single mom when it's raining, when she's trying to get in with her kids. I mean, what does it really matter? I'm here to tell you today, church, that everything matters. Everything matters. Embrace your place today, because Scripture tells us that God has set every member in place. And the reason we devalue it is because it's not sensational. It's not celebrity. It's not cool. But can you imagine? Listen, can you imagine what his house would look like if everybody who attends here just embrace their place? I mean, in 2014, if God can do all of that stuff that was up on these screens with a little bit of a work crew, a volunteer crew of 100 people per week, can you imagine what it would be like if you take the children and maybe a few teenagers out of that number? But I think even teenagers should serve. But if you take the children's ministry out of that equation of 100 and maybe 50 to 60 kids back there, and if average attendance was 800, can you imagine if we had 700 people, seven times the volunteer base of what's serving now? Can you imagine what his house would do in 2015? Can you imagine that? I mean, think about it. God's planted you in this house. You're in his house. Psalms 92, verse 12. Look at it. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. Anybody want to flourish? Or y'all just won't hobble along, right? You just kind of want to make it, right? Fake it till I make it, just kind of get there, just cross the line barely, and you'd be like, phew, I made it. I made it. Got into heaven, right? Just hobble in there, right?
kind of ducking your head because you don't want anybody to really notice, but you're just glad you're there and you're not in the alternative, right? See, I don't really think that's how it works. I don't. Because if our mentality is, as long as we're saved and we're just going to kind of get in, then I'm not really sure that we got what it takes to get in. Because here's what I believe. I believe that when somebody's been saved by the grace of God and we realize that, hey, it wasn't anything we've done, but it's something that we needed so badly in our life, and we're glad that Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups and he died for us, right? I mean, it kind of makes me feel like that it puts a responsibility back on me. I don't have to work to be saved, and I don't have to work to stay saved or anything like that, but I think I should work because I am saved, right? I mean, I think I should serve him. I think I should lay my life down for him because he laid his life down for me, and if he was willing to do that for me, then I ought to really serve him and love him. And if you're really saved in your life, you're not going to be like, oh, don't call on me. Don't call. No, I'm not going to sign up. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to type Phyllis for me. I'm not going to do any of that. No, if you're saved, you're going to want to tell other people about what happened to you in your life because you realize that you found true forgiveness, that you found mercy, that you found grace, that you found the love that you've been looking for, and you're going to want to tell everybody else about it, and you're going to do whatever it takes to tell people. Look at the next verse. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. Where do you think that could be? They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit, and they will remain vital and green. Scripture in Psalms chapter 92 tells us those that are planted in the house of the Lord, that their lives will flourish. Hey, is the church irrelevant today? Maybe to a bunch of lost people dying and going to hell, yes. Maybe to society, yes. Have we done a bad job of really being effective reaching out to people who need to know Christ? Absolutely, the church deserves a D or an F in that department. Necessarily his house? No. But the church as a whole, are we being effective? We could be a whole lot more effective than what we are. But let me ask you this question, and I want you to think about it. If we who are planted in this house of the Lord, our lives are truly flourishing, then that's really when people are going to look at us and say, hey, something's different with that old girl. Something's different with that boy. And I want to be a part of whatever's going on in their life. In 2015, I want to encourage you to quit playing church. I want to encourage you to be the church. I don't want you to come to church. I want you to understand that you are the church. And if you don't show up, the church is not complete. Those that occasionally attend every now and then, bless the house with their presence, they're not planted deep. They're not secure. But it's those who are planted, whose roots are deep, who have embraced their place, who say, I'm there, only then will they really flourish. Guys, if you could see in the Spirit, okay, if you could just see in the Spirit, right now, we're just kind of limping around. We're just limping around. Simply because too many people who have devalued the place, they have devalued the position that God has set them in. And God's saying, do you not realize that you're crippling, you're immobilizing the body of Christ? One part of the body has to compensate when the other part of the body is not working. 2013, February, went into surgery, had this gallbladder removed. Many of you guys told me I didn't really have to have it. It's no big deal. 80% of people in Western Kentucky's got their gallbladder out. It's probably because of what we're eating. Yeah, we need to watch what we're eating. If it's messing up organs in our body like that, then we're probably not eating right, amen? And so I was down at a place the other day having my oil changed and tires rotated, and this guy behind the counter, he said, I'm still having problems with my gallbladder. Everywhere I go now, I'm the gallbladder man, right? They're like, I'm still having problems with my gallbladder. And I said, well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And I said, I would probably try to keep it as much as I could, flush it out, do whatever you need to do. And then another pastor walked in. He said, I got my gallbladder out. You don't need it. I said, well, you may not have needed yours. But I said, this guy needed his. Because when I got my gallbladder out, I used to be able to go eat a salad. and now the salad eats me, right? I mean, it's right the opposite. And then I better know where the restroom is close by when I eat certain foods, amen? I'm just being real with you. Why? What happened? I can live without my gallbladder, but it sure would be a whole lot easier to have that sucker filtering out the fats and the bile and all that other stuff that it does. It's got a purpose, or God would not have put that there to begin with. And so, yes, it's gone. Yes, I'm living. Yes, I'm still breathing. Yes, my heart's still beating. Yes, I'm still moving along. But if I had it, I would be able to enjoy life just a tad bit more, and I would be able to live free of the fear that some big accident could happen to me one day. Hey, if I ever get up in a hurry from the table, it's not because I didn't enjoy our company, right? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Amen. All you gallbladderless people in here, we must have done something bad to cause that to happen. I don't know. But I mean, it's gone. And what it's done is it put other strain on my intestinal tract and things of that nature. And so it's a hardship, right? I mean, it's something that's, and I don't mean that literally. It's something that you struggle with. Why is that? Because one part of the body has to compensate for the other part of the body. You know what happens in the body of Christ? You know what happens in the church? Half the body ends up getting burnt out and tired and weary all the time, which makes us less effective because we got one part of the body that's gone. See, I'm glad I got some Puerto Ricans and some Hispanics and people in here because even the African-American people in here, y'all didn't thought this is a white church. I ain't saying nothing anymore. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, that's good right there. Amen. Amen, Pastor Chad. That right there, man. Because what happens is people are giving more than they should, and they're serving more than they should, and because they're trying to carry the rest of the body. Folks, listen, if we would just simply embrace our place, the place that God's got for us in His house, we would serve Him. I'm telling you, our lives would flourish. Our communities would flourish. Our families would flourish. Nobody would be getting burnt out. Nobody would be falling apart. Everybody would be flourishing, and the body would have so much momentum and so much strength that even the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against it. So I don't know about you, but I'm telling you right now that when I look at those numbers, I celebrate them. I do. Because what you fail to celebrate in your life will eventually exit your life. But you know what I do? I see those numbers and I think, my oh my, how they could pale in comparison to what we will report in January of 2016 of what God did in 2015. Because the sum of us turned into all of us. And we served Him. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You may say, well, that's fine. Other people can be reached and all that sort of thing. Hold on. Don't check out on me. I see you ruffling around back there. Listen. It may be your son or daughter. I'm going to make it personal. It could be your son or daughter who needs Jesus. And because of our laziness and because of our negative mentality and selfish mindset, and the entitlement mindset that we have, it could be that they may not ever come to know Jesus because God was wanting to use you to reach them. And if they don't see a difference in your life, then why are they going to want what you say they need? Let's embrace our place. Let's not let that be an issue. Let's see what God's going to do. You know what? Invitation time today. If you don't know Christ, I'd say you need to come and just say, Pastor Chad, I need Jesus and I need Him now. Embrace your place in Christ. If you're here and you say, hey, man, I've never joined this church. I've never joined this church. We don't have members here at His house. We have partners. Why? Because members have rights. Partners have ownership. And you need to realize that you're just as much a part of this place as we are. Members at golf courses, they complain and whine and all that other stuff when the golf cart roads, the little things are not fixed right. And they say, well, I'm a member and I think that should be fixed. Well, when you're a partner, you fix it. Right? And so many of you never partnered up. You never partnered up. There's church members that the FBI can't even find right now. We don't want members. We want partners. We want partners, people that will serve alongside of us. We've got 28,000 people in this community don't go to church, and it's growing on a daily basis because people have quit embracing their place and churches have quit celebrating what's really important to God, and that has exited out of their life. I don't want to be part of that. So some of you need to come say, hey, I want to be a partner. You come to myself, Pastor Tony, say, I want to partner up. I want to partner up. It's time to get going. It's time to get rolling. I make no apologies for that. Make no apologies. Some of you need to come and pray for those people in your family that are lost without Jesus and say, God, here I am. Use me. Use me.